Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian and Michael here a day late, but that's okay. You know, we can do that every now and then. We have lives, too, so every now and then we have to go a day late, but we made sure that we still do the podcast. So, by the way, this week's podcast, once again, brought to you by our good friends at ATA Limo Services. Find them online at atalimoservices.com. If you're in the Bay Area, and you're going to be, most likely, because you're going to WrestleMania, so that means you're going to be over there in the San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland area, and you need a styling vehicle, limo, SUV, town car, anything where you want to ride in style, you want to be noticed, or ride in comfort, you can contact ATA Limo Services, and they'll hook you up. They've been out there for 15 years, taking care of people, professional. You get in the car, water, mint, fresh newspaper right there. If you mention Between the Ropes, you get 10% off right now. The drivers, they're all suited up. They're pros. They've been around the area, and if anybody wants a tour in the Bay Area, they'll provide that as well. And, you know, it's not just for WrestleMania week. You go out there for any kind of thing that you need in the Bay Area, and you need a quality vehicle. You need something that really shows off the style and professionalism you're looking for. If you're looking for a vehicle for a graduation, prom, big night out, a birthday, concert, sporting events, you want to ride in style and you're in the Bay Area, ATA Limo Service is, they're the guys that'll take care of you. Just find them online. It's atalimoservices.com. You can call them. It's 408-732-3600. 408-732-3600. Mention Between the Ropes. You get 10% off too. We're going to be riding in style from our good friends over there at ATA Limo Service a couple times. And you'll get to do it once, Michael.
When are we riding in style?
Well, we're getting a couple rides.
Okay.
We're getting a couple and we might be getting one I'm still hoping for.
Just
depends on the schedule.
Okay.
So we're trying to work it all out, you know.
Fair enough,
you know. So they're good people out there. They'll take care of everybody and they're taking care of us. So Are you getting your fix when it comes to WrestleMania? Are you in WrestleMania mode now? Because you're getting to go for the first time ever.
I don't know what WrestleMania mode is exactly, and if this past Monday's Raw is indicative of what WrestleMania mode is supposed to be, then I am rather disappointed.
So you weren't enthralled by Raw on Monday?
No. I was not enthralled. Were you?
No, unfortunately, it was not. The biggest thing that I took away, I mean, there's a couple segments that were really good, okay? The Brock Lesnar interview I thought was really good. The Paul Heyman interview and the subsequent Roman Reigns interview I thought was really good. If you were looking for cheap laughs that almost ruined an angle, then you liked the stuff between Rusev, his lawyer, and Cena. And then you had the ongoing saga of we're going to tell you exactly what we're going to do storyline, and that's exactly what we're going to do, but it's not one of those like you kind of know what's going on because we're teasing it. It's one of those we're going to crack you over the head with it. Mm-hmm. And that was the Randy Orton Seth Rollins storyline.
So I thought it was really interesting. This week's show opened up the same as last week's show.
Yes.
Somebody actually, I think, tweeted us about that as well.
Yeah.
It was the exact same promo, whatever, everything pretty much the same, just without Randy Orton out there.
Yeah, it was, hey, this is what's going on, and ha ha ha, you know. And I don't get it. I don't get it at all, man. I mean, the whole thing was that Seth Rollins was trying to prove, like, you put one over on us last week, so I'm doing the same to you, you know. And we were supposed to believe it when, you know, everybody that was around him got mad at him and said they weren't going to help him. He was all alone. Then he came out for the main event and said, I got you, fooled you. I mean, he was trying to go for a Spaceballs moment or something. And we all saw it coming. It was dopey as hell. But then we did get the payoff of Sting being in the ring. And Sting looked really good. I'll say this, for a guy that's in his mid-50s, he was moving around just fine. And people were pretty excited about it.
it makes it a lot easier whenever you wrestle in a t-shirt. You know, it helps. People don't judge you as much because there's nothing there to judge except for a t-shirt.
Do you think he'll be wearing the t-shirt when he has the match?
Yep.
I do not.
Yep. When's the last time he wrestled in not a t-shirt?
He did in TNA all the time. He wore like that it's like that singlet that goes in the pants or whatever.
And he wore a t-shirt over it.
Not always.
Maybe back in like, when did he first show up in TNA? 05?
I gotta look, man. I gotta look this up now because I'm not sure.
But he didn't wear one maybe back then, but his last few years, he always wrestled in one, and he always looked like a complete dope doing it.
Hmm. Well, everybody's now pointing out that Luke Harper and Dean Ambrose are wearing the same shirt.
Are they?
Yes.
That's worth a lot.
That was another running joke on Twitter on Raw on Monday. Was like, hey, look, Dean and Luke shop in the same place. One shirt just a little bit bigger than the other.
It's funny.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. So, yeah, Raw was just another mixed bag to where there's a couple things that are fine, but it's still, I mean, I know they got one more show to go, but you should be bubbling at this point for WrestleMania. And I have this feeling that this is a recurring theme for a lot of years. I think last year was a little bit more hype because you saw the direction for the Daniel Bryan stuff and also for Taker. Taker and Lesnar a little bit, but it wasn't like a huge thing. But the big thing was the Daniel Bryan stuff last year. And so far this year, it's just kind of like, you know, maybe this show is a little bit better, but how much is that really saying right now?
I mean, it wasn't like an awful show or anything. It wasn't like one of those shows you just want to punch yourself in the face for watching. But
right.
There's just no momentum, I think, is the problem. And all the segments were so expendable, and it just didn't feel like – it felt like filler. I mean, it just – the whole thing felt like filler.
Well, that's going to change next week because we're getting Snoop Dogg and Bill Simmons on the show.
Yeah. Whoop-de-doo.
Oh, and now, by the way, LL Cool J performing at Mania, buddy. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there
NCIS
could be worse.
Style.
Is that the way he performs now is yes. NCIS style because he's on that show?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Just like, what's his name from Law & Order performs Law & Order style?
Ice-T.
Yep, Ice-T. He just performs Law & Order style because he's on that show.
Man, I got to interview him a couple of years ago.
Nice.
I asked him about if he ever was a participant in a bank robbery, and he could neither confirm nor deny.
Oh man,
there's an epic story about back in the day he was on a crew that robbed a bank and he was never caught and they've never had the evidence to say it, but he's kind of, he won't say what bank, he won't say when, but he's kind of like, well, maybe, which is a yes.
One of the things, at least he didn't run over somebody with his car. Okay. I mean,
that's true.
That's worth something.
That's very true.
So,
what did you make of the very early on in the show, we got the longest women's match on TV we've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Bella against AJ Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, there was the whole give divas a chance thing that was going on Twitter going back to a few weeks ago. And there was a couple things here. Number one, I got the feeling that this was kind of WWE saying, Here you go. You want longer TV matches.
Right.
And the match was okay. It was nothing special, but it wasn't awful, but I can't say it was necessarily good, but it was a match. The other thing is there is more and more belief, and I don't want to surprise you, shock you. I mean, it's kind of like one of those moments where you find out that maybe a certain holly jolly man around, you know, the end of December isn't real, but, give divas a chance, hashtag. Not a real thing from certain participants in WWE. It was actually maybe the powers that be in the company that coerced that whole thing to get attention.
Really? No way. You're kidding.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Shocking, I know. One of the Bellas... Because remember the whole thing about that was, remember they had that tag match?
Mm-hmm.
And with, what was it, Emma Page against the Bellas? And remember, it went, what was it, like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and then everybody was outraged.
Yeah.
One of the Bellas, I think it was Brie, has since come out and said, well, it was our choice to make the match that short. Because we could have gone out there and had like 3 or 4 minutes, but we wanted to do something memorable. So we called an audible and said, we just want to do it this quickly.
That's weird. Why would you do that?
I can't remember the rest of the explanation, but the belief now is that the whole hashtag give Divas a chance was something concocted from the company and the powers to be to get people talking more about WWE on social media.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of backhanded marketing that WWE likes to do.
Well, and there's plenty of other places besides WWE that do it. It's just they're the one in particular we're singling out because that's the one we talk about a lot.
Right, right, right. It's not like we're just saying that they're the only ones that do it, but that does seem like the kind of tactics they very frequently use to get, you know, making it seem like it's not them and that it's a grassroots movement when really it is them the whole Yes movement? Yep. Really? The Yes movement? Yeah, that's a WWE.
Well, let's take another shot at somebody to even the score then, okay?
Okay.
What is more concocted? Or what makes you kind of roll your eyes a little bit more? Hashtag give Divas a chance, or when Dixie Carter takes to Twitter and says she has a shocking announcement that will change the landscape of TNA.
Okay, here's the difference. WWE is trying to, in a way, manipulate its audience. Dixie Carter is just being kind of dumb. So I don't know if they're on the same page or not. But
that was shot number one tonight.
Uh-huh.
Shot to the heart. Right there, buddy.
That's my another damaged angle for the week is just Dixie Carter in general.
We'll get
another damaged brand, another damaged manager, another damaged company.
Right.
Another damaged show. Another.
Did you miss Lana this week?
Yes.
Mm. She's out shooting a WWE movie.
They had my body double out there hanging out with Rusev, so I'll take it.
What's she shooting?
What movie?
It's a WWE film.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it. I have to look it up.
Is it just called a WWE film?
Yes, basically. Right now, it's just a working title.
Presented by WWE Films.
Yes. But so they had the Rusev went out there with a lawyer that it had to have been somebody just working in the back and they stuck a wig on or something. It had to have been.
He was doing his best Christoph Waltz impression.
He was, man. And I wasn't sure if I was watching Django Unchained or Raw. But he maybe he was doing the Inglourious Basterds version. But I'm watching this, and it's obvious that WWE like said, okay, this guy has the worst Russian accent ever. And the guy was trying, but he also had a southern twang that went with it.
Yep.
To where they said, screw it. Make fun of the guy. Which almost killed the angle.
Yeah. It was not very good.
It was not very good. I'm like, can't you guys, like, I don't know, test these people in advance to see if they've got a good accent or not? How do you put that out there? And by the way, one of the members of our site swears he knows this guy.
Really?
Yes.
Who?
Justin,
get him on the show. Let's
I told Justin, I go, get him for the podcast.
Let's get him on this show.
I need to talk to this guy, man. Oh, this poor guy, man. And then just to add insult to injury, or probably injury to insult, the guy, when he was sliding out of the ring, so Rusev, they do this whole contract signing, and then at the end, you know, Cena's in there, and Rusev, basically, his lawyer says, well, Lana is the one last week that said he'd do the match, but my guy here, he doesn't have to do the match. So Cena has to stand there and listen to Rusev make a statement in which he belittles the U.S., and Cena is getting more and more infuriated to the point where he takes off his shirt and is staring a hole through Rusev. Sure. And at the end of it, Rusev signs the contract for the match, but flips over the table, and then he ducks out of the ring really quick, as does the lawyer. The guy did the classic, I know you're not a wrestler move, because before he made it all the way out of the ring, he started to lift up his head and he whiplashed it off the bottom rope to the, which I've done, not with my head, but I did it with my back. Ugh. I mean, I totally missed it one time. Like the few times I've been in a ring, just stupid move, because you're just not used to it, you know? This poor guy, man. I mean, he's lucky it was the side of his head, because remember one time Test back in the day did it and broke his nose during Raw. So, yeah, this was interesting. And the funny thing is, like, up to that point, I mean, the storyline had been going pretty good. They salvaged it there, but that guy, that almost ruined it, man.
Yep. Almost. And that was one of the storylines that I felt like coming out of, at least coming out of, you know, Fastlane, it had some momentum behind it. But I just feel like it's been all over the place, and they didn't play up the right. They didn't play up this, you know, Rusev as the champion being challenged by Cena angle in the right way. And I, this is the one time I felt like Cena made a good challenger. He was legitimately beaten, and the babyface chases the heel, right? It was working for Cena for the first time in a while, and they just kind of didn't handle it the best way in the world.
I still want my Hearts on Fire video montage building up to this match.
Yep.
Rocky IV style. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you work in some of the characters of Rocky IV in the video at this point, man. Like, if Duke makes an appearance, I'll be thrilled, okay? If the bumbling cops that can't drive on the slippery, you know, streets or whatever the heck that is in Russia, as Rocky is running around and he's got the half a tree stuck to his back. Yeah.
I don't think they were cops. I think they were like Russian bodyguards or
right. It's part of the KGB.
Spies. Yeah. Exactly.
KGB members keeping an eye on him so he didn't, you know, like get loose, you know, and destroy Russia. Like turn into Rambo in the middle of the movie and just destroyed Russia from within, which would have been fantastic.
So I found out something interesting about Rambo this week.
Okay.
Did you know that Rambo was supposed to originally supposed to die at the end of that movie?
Of the first one? Of First Blood?
Uh-huh.
Mm, I didn't know that.
Would have been Last Blood.
First Blood is actually a really good movie.
Uh-huh.
People don't remember talk about it too much.
It's not as good as Rocky IV, but it's pretty good.
It's true, but First Blood is a good movie.
It's not as good as Rocky III, but it's pretty not as good as Rocky II.
Rocky II, or well, I mean, Rambo II is pretty damn cool, though, man.
Not as good as any of the Rockies or First Blood.
Mm. I always like when they go, Rambo, John Jay, born of Indian German descent. That's a hell of a combination.
Yeah.
It was all a ruse in Rambo 2. He wasn't supposed to find anyone, okay? He wasn't supposed to find anybody.
Uh-huh. I liked,
Troutman is there to save him every time.
Right. You know way more about these movies than I do. I think I've seen them once. It's not really the kind of thing that
these movies will show up every now and then. I'll just be flipping through channels. I haven't seen a movie in like 8 years like that. And I can like recite half of it. This happened to me one time where I had not seen Smokey and the Bandit in like a decade. And I swear I could recite that movie once it's playing. That movie is so fantastic, man. I love Smokey and the Bandit.
I've never seen it.
You don't know about Buford T. Justice? His bumbling son?
Nope.
Oh my goodness. Come on, man. You're missing out. Get me an El Diablo and a Dr. Pepper.
you're losing me.
I'm going to barbecue your ass and molasses.
This does not sound like my kind of movie. Sounds a little bit offensive.
I'm still
vaguely uncomfortable.
I wish I had the money that I could have gotten the bandit's car. The Trans Am, because Burt Reynolds recently auctioned it off on Yahoo, and it's in pristine condition.
Because that's the thing you want to spend your money on.
Yes, I would. I'd love to have the bandit's car.
That's the thing that makes the most sense to spend all your money on.
Yes, absolutely, man. That's a conversation starter, okay? That's not only, you know, something to get the chicks, something you got a fast car, something to get the chicks, and a conversation starter.
You know what else starts conversations?
What's that?
Money.
Mm.
I mean, let's just put it this way. You buy the car. How much did it go for?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Well, but the thing is, are you actually flashing cold hard cash to tell somebody like, hey, start a conversation because look at all this money I got in my hand? Or are you showing off the car and saying, hey, look, I've got the Trans Am that the bandit drove and Smokey and the Bandit.
Let's play this out to its completion. Okay.
Sure.
So Brian Fritz goes and buys Smokey and the Bandit car for, let's say, $200,000. I mean, probably went for more than that, but
maybe. Well, I might not have. I don't know.
We'll just say $200,000 you spend on this car. All right. You drive it up, and you sit in a parking lot somewhere, and you wait for somebody to walk up to you and say, hey, is that the Smokey? And you're like, yeah, man, come on over. Let's talk, right? Is this a scenario you see playing out?
Yes.
Okay.
It sold at auction for $450,000.
Even better, $450,000. Okay, you buy the car, go sit in the parking lot, wait for people to recognize it. Maybe if they know the movie and let's say they're really into it and they're into that car and then, you know, they feel comfortable coming up and talking to you, then you have a conversation started with a handful of people. All right. Now, next scenario, you have $450,000. You put $200,000 of it in the bank. The other $200,000 you take to a bar and you flash and you say, hey, people, look, I have money. And everybody says, hey, that guy has lots of money. And you just start giving out 20s, random people.
No, because the realistic scenario there is that nobody wants to talk to you and you lose $200,000 in that bar.
No.
Because you're getting mugged.
No.
If you had $200,000 in your hands, you
were
getting
mugged. So you spend 1,000 of it for that night to hire a bodyguard. Oh, man, you have 199,000 nights ahead of you.
That's not a big investment on the help there.
I mean,
especially when that guy knows you've got 200 grand in your hands. Who's not to say that he doesn't help rob you at that point?
Better plan. Okay, scratch that. You take $400,000 and buy, I don't know, that's probably going to buy a pretty good size house in Florida with a pool. Maybe you can buy a pool and you can have a game room and you can, I don't know, put up some the tennis rackets and whatever you people do in Florida after
you
retire.
We put up tennis rackets, but not a tennis court.
Okay. Right. Well, you guys play croquet down there and after you
shuffleboard,
watch Blue Bloods
every
night. Yeah, okay. And invite all your friends over, you know, for dinner around 4:30, and then voila, you have all this attention for money and a place to live.
Hey, we have that money because we go out to dinner at 4:30, okay?
Got to get to the early bird specials.
You're damn right we do. Otherwise, the Seinfelds will beat us there.
K&W, it's gonna get busy right around 4:45, all the Walkers and Canes.
Hey, you
Canes
know what?
And Walkers.
When we want to have the good living at Del Boca Vista, okay, we've got to beat everybody for the dinner, okay?
Yep. All right.
I'm just dropping stuff from Seinfeld now. It's
there
great.
You go. Also, on that note, I learned today that in an episode of Seinfeld, he had a very expensive Mac computer from the mid-90s.
Oh, did he?
There was this really expensive Mac that came out. I forgot what it was called, but I think it was before Steve Jobs came back to the company that was sold for, I don't know, $5,000 maybe? Maybe it was more than that. But yeah, it was on an episode of Seinfeld at one point too.
Really? Because he always
it was like
had
ahead
like,
of its time.
He always had that little small he always had that small office. But
yeah.
He never used his computer. You like it always just sat there, but he never used it.
Right. It was caught. And he actually there was a picture I saw of him using it.
Did he actually use it one time?
Yeah, I forgot what it was called though.
It's not the all-in-one iMac.
No, it was before that. I don't know.
We'll have to look it up sometime. I mean,
I don't know, but
it's
if
some
you
kind
watch,
of Macintosh, yeah.
Right, but if you watch the you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, right?
Of course, man.
Okay, when they did the whole reunion series, reunion episode?
Yeah.
That had been replaced, whatever computer he had been replaced with an iMac.
Really?
Attention to detail.
That is attention to detail.
So, yep. There you go.
Well.
Wrestling. Sorry. Wrestling,
okay.
wrestling.
Let's get back to
wrestling.
That. All right. Professional wrestling. Let's get a wrestling face back on.
Uh-huh.
Brock Lesnar said a bad word that they had to censor.
Uh-huh.
Because he's going to destroy Roman Reigns.
Uh-huh.
The Lesnar promo was really, really good. I do like that he's talking about. Here's the deal. If I stay, I'm going to be the WWE champion. If I go someplace else, I'm still going to be the WWE champion, which is great. And he gave the lineage about how he sent The Rock to Hollywood when he was just a rookie and how he ended the streak. And he made fun of everybody that made a face last year because they were shocked that Undertaker lost at Mania. And he has said, there's no happy ending at the end. He is going to mess Roman up. But he didn't say mess. He said something much worse. but the promo is really, really good. I like it when they do these settings with Lesnar and they pre-tape these interviews. And it's just him for these because for whatever reason, he comes off really, really good on these.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it even when he first came back. And they remember they did that one with him and talking about how he was going to just beat the hell out of John Cena.
Yeah.
That one was exceptional. This one was really good.
Anytime they do a rehearsed thing, he's so good. That's why he was so good in UFC, because he would always have those little bitty pre-taped vignettes right at the beginning of the show, and he comes across very intense, very purposeful when he has an outline to work from. And I think Paul Heyman helps coach him on that, obviously.
But, oh, absolutely. I don't know if Paul told him to make fun of the beer sponsor from UFC one time, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? They later on, so Heyman came out and he did his promo, which is really good. And Roman Reigns came out, and Roman probably gave the best promo he's ever given. You know, as a singles guy in long form, live, it was probably the best one he has. I do want you to explain something to me, though.
Okay.
What is going on with Roman Reigns' eyes?
The change color, you mean?
Something is going on there, man. Is he like, is he one of those creatures from Game of Thrones?
Yeah. They have him wearing contacts. He's pulling the old Rey Mysterio where he wears contacts to the ring, and that's got to be it, right?
I don't know. I feel like he's piercing my soul.
Yeah. Well, they were blue.
They're bluish green or something.
Yep. And then they were brown. But like he's wearing some kind of contact.
It's like a mood ring, but it's just in his eyes.
There's a picture of him on a billboard that I see every day going back and forth to work. You know, he did the parenting ad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that ad where he was with his daughter and it was like, you know, parents for America? So he's on a giant billboard that I see every day going back and forth to work, and he does not look like that.
I was going to say, does it ever hypnotize you or you get lost in it?
No.
Okay.
No.
He was wearing an I can, I will shirt,
uh-huh,
talking about, because Lesnar says you can't beat him, and Heyman says you can't beat my client. And that's the new thing. I can, I will, and I believe that he is going to beat Brock Lesnar.
So Roman Reigns' natural eye color is brown, according to his Minnesota Vikings picture. So he's got to be wearing. Here's a picture of him in college. Click this button.
Now it's turquoise.
Yeah. He's wearing some kind of lens. Either that, or he's managed to overcome genetics. Which,
that'd be awesome, man.
It's a possibility.
I don't know. Maybe he got caught in one of Bruce Banner's labs or something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is their latest attempt to get him over.
Did he get bit by a spider? Because if you watch his t-shirt, if you look at it closely, so the top line says, I can, and the bottom says, I will. And in between that, there's a symbol. And it almost looks like, you know, the symbol from Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Nah, Spider-Man was way more interesting than this guy. So,
well, I'm just saying, they got the symbol going out there.
Uh-huh. Nah, he's not a Marvel superhero. Sorry.
Just point it out, man.
Nope.
Just point it out.
Nope.
Let's see. What else? Was there anything else memorable on this show? By the way, the announcing. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oof.
Once again, man, especially during the IC title, whatever mess that was going on. And by the way, they can't say that it's a belt. So they keep saying the championship was stuck to R-Truth's back. I don't know. I guess Vince McMahon is just amused by the whole R-Truth. Won't admit that he's got the championship belt when it's hanging from a hook on his back kind of thing.
It's hilarious. R-Truth is hilarious.
It's hilarious. But at the end of the night, Wade Barrett got back because he bullhammered R-Truth in the face. But
yeah. Daniel Bryan walks out. That's kind of my impression from all of this.
I think so too. But I don't know what that says, because are people really going to be happy about that or not? From the standpoint that, does that mean, well, he's still not in the main event picture, but he's got this title? Because the IC title has not meant that much. And I know Daniel's done some interviews, and he's saying all the right things about how the belt used to mean something, and he wants it to get back there, and he's, you know, he really likes the storyline. You know, I'm sure he believes a lot of that, too, because I don't find him to be somebody that's just going to tote the corporate line. He always, you know, whenever he does interviews, he always seems very honest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he has found something in it that has intrigued him. I'm not saying it would be horrible for him to win it, obviously, but, you know, whoever's held the IC title, probably for the last year, especially the last year and a half, it's really kind of devalued them.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen it with Dolph Ziggler. We've seen it now with Wade Barrett. We've seen it with Dean Ambrose to some extent. It's happened with a lot of guys.
You go back to my scenario. If Brock Lesnar re-signs with the company, then what you do is part-time champion Brock Lesnar, right? Because Roman Reigns is just not working. So he loses at Mania. Lesnar holds on to the title a little bit longer. You give John Cena the United States belt. You give Daniel Bryan the Intercontinental belt, as they do not say on TV because they can't say belt. And, you know, let those guys main event your shows for a little while because they're both main event stars. And you go into Extreme Rules. Well, it's pretty obvious if Lesnar wins at Mania, he will not be at Extreme Rules, right? So you go into Extreme Rules.
Wait, if he wins at Mania, he won't be at Extreme Rules?
Right. Because
he's been at Extreme Rules the last couple of years, though, I think, right?
But yeah, but they won't. My guess would be they will not feel the need to go into that rematch with Roman Reigns. If they don't feel comfortable putting the belt on Reigns at Mania, they're not going to have a rematch for it at Extreme Rules.
Maybe he would face somebody else.
I mean, I think you elevate either the U.S. title or the IC title, mm-hmm. put them in that main event slot. Even Roman Reigns, he could fight Daniel Bryan in a rematch. Roman Reigns is trying to climb his way back up, and they main event Extreme Rules for the IC title. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny you say this because you've been reading Reddit, haven't you?
I read it sometimes.
Okay. Do you know about the one WWE insider fan that posts on there?
Oh, yeah. I did read that. The Triple H.
He did post on there recently. He said, from sources he's heard within the company, Brock is going to resign, and he's going to win the He's going to retain the title, and then they're going to push the two belts, the whole scenario that you just gave.
And let's explain that guy is the one who for a while was posting. I forgot the name he goes by on Reddit, but for a while he was posting very accurate predictions for WWE pay-per-views mm-hmm. immediately before they went on the air. And you could have bet money and won big had you listened to him, because he was for about five or six pay-per-views was smack on. I mean, he was perfect. If I'm remembering, that's the same guy, correct?
That would be Mets fan forever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's the number four.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did see that today. Triple H saying that, you know, maybe they should.
Well, that's just a report from him, mm-hmm. and doesn't mean it's true.
Already here first.
Stretch the imagination.
Between the Ropes has exclusive late-breaking news.
I always love when, you know, this goes out there and other people are like posting like, we don't really know if this is real or not or true or not, but I'm going to post it anyway so everybody will talk about it and get credit and clicks. I'm like, okay.
Got me more power to them. Yeah. We should post something about that.
Sure, why not? Let's
go do it.
Well, how about the story, too, about the fans in the front row there in Des Moines who were all dressed up like their favorite wrestlers from the 90s? And WWE made them change. They gave them all new shirts. I think they gave them Uso shirts. And then, so now they were bright orange. And they made them change out of their outfits, or else they said they were going to kick them out.
And they were there for the first segment of the show, too. If you could see them on TV.
Right. And there's been so much fair about this. Now WWE has said, hey, we apologize. And we're going to give you, you know, free tickets for the next time they come into town. Now, I don't know. They've done this before, so I don't know how distracting they are or not. But at the same time, as long as they're not, you know, as long as you're being fans, you can jump up and down, but you're not hijacking a show, I guess, mm-hmm. because you're sitting in the front row. I like that fans are getting dressed up like their favorite characters. I like that there is that kind of participation.
Can you imagine if you went to one of these NFL teams that has like the fan, the well-known guy,
Guy from the Jets, the firefighter?
Right. I mean, it's basically WWE's red hat guy. But if you take these guys and say, no, you're too distracting. We need you to go change into something a little less distracting so fans can watch the game and not watch you. That's ridiculous.
Well, did you hear the other rumor that happened during Raw?
What was that?
Allegedly, at one point, as people were coming in, security started taking away pro Daniel Bryan signs, saying there's already enough of those.
I did not hear that one.
Yes.
You've been all over Reddit this week, huh?
It wasn't a Reddit thing. So supposedly they were saying, yeah. But they let people go in and had the signs, you know, talking about being a turd, which is what they did on SmackDown. And that's what they call Daniel Bryan, which that's Vince McMahon humor right there.
Right.
If it's a poop joke, he loves it.
There's a little bit of fear in activities like this. Whenever you are trying to control what your fans say, what they do, they've been doing it for weeks with the boos and the cheers. If you watch SmackDown, listen to the way the audience levels change. You will hear the yes chants not as loudly. You will hear these weird packets of yays come through for Roman Reigns that aren't necessarily there in a natural tone. I don't like when they do that. I don't like when they try to micromanage the audience part of the product, because to me, when you do that, it tells me you do not have confidence in your programming to let it go and have it convince the fans that it is worth buying into. And so that to me is a bad sign. Don't micromanage the fans. I mean, they're paying you money,
right?
You know,
I didn't understand that. I didn't understand one bit. Like I said, I know they're in the front row. They paid good money for it. If they're doing something that's totally hijacking a show and bothering other people or getting in the way of your show, yeah, but I mean, if they're just being exuberant fans, they're dressed up and maybe they're yelling and screaming and maybe they're doing poses or whatever, as long as it's not lewd and yeah, they can be loud. I mean, they paid for the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They paid for it. I mean, I keep hearing over and over about freedom of speech, and I know it only goes so far, okay? Like I said, if they're bothering somebody else and getting in the way of somebody else of enjoying the show, or they're being rude, then I can understand it. But yes, they're being super fans. They're dressed up. Maybe they're being loud or whatever, but as long as they're not cursing, as long as they're not, you know, going over the line, then I don't have a problem with it. You know, I want those kind of passionate fans at my shows, quite honestly, because guess what? They're going to react. They're going to make noise and they're going to have fun. And that's what the whole experience is supposed to be, is this is entertainment and they're having fun.
So, there you go.
Outside of that, I mean, we mentioned the Sting Orton thing at the end of the show. Did you find it interesting that Sting broke his silence and spoke in the WWE for the first time on the WWE Network?
I found it interesting that they had that segment happen so fast after the end of Raw that I missed the first 4 minutes of what he said. Like, I get why they did it, because they're trying to drive people to the network and remind people how important it is and make sure their subscription numbers stay up. But if you're going to have something big like that, at least give the people who have to flip over inputs and turn on whatever device and then log into the network and then wait for that stupid little thing to load up, at least give them time to get there so they can see it. Because I know I'm not the only one. I saw a few comments on Twitter had the same issue, that I miss his first words in WWE. Not that it's a big deal or anything.
Hey, man, you snooze, you lose. You better be dialed into the network, man. Just flip your TV.
But it makes a lot more sense than what they originally had advertised, which was Randy Orton speaks on the WWE Network afterwards. And I was thinking, whoop-de-doo. Well, way to go. You guys got Randy Orton. Good for you.
I wonder how they got him. Oh, yeah. Wait. He works there.
But it was good to see him. Good to see him say something. And it was building off a hot moment. And I just kind of wish not only had they had him speak, but they had something else to follow that up.
Yeah.
After. Because 5 minutes and then we moved on. Whoop-de-doo, you know.
So next week, we're going to get a face-to-face confrontation between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
All right.
On the Go Home show.
Finally. Okay.
Bill Simmons will commentate during two matches. He said he wanted to do the whole show, but JBL's ego wouldn't allow it, which is true. He did tweet that. Snoop Dogg will be on the show. I don't know if he's performing Wiz Khalifa style or not, but I'm sure he'll be using the same kind of recreational product as Wiz Khalifa before, during, and after the show. And then,
listen, Snoop Dogg is well known for doing Call of Duty commentary. I would love to see he did one of those voice packs.
Yeah,
you know, like you just got shot for shizzle, my nizzle, you know, like stuff like that. So I would love to see him bring that.
That would be good.
Yep.
Is he going to have some gin and juice out there?
Yep.
All right.
That's right. We just said the two things we know about Snoop Dogg.
He's a big Laker fan, too. He's a big Laker fan.
Yep.
And I know that he had a special house made for him on an edition of Man Caves, which airs on DIY. I did see a little bit of that. I think, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would not be surprised if one of the matches that takes place on Raw is Daniel Bryan against Dolph Ziggler.
That's dumb. That's dumb.
Because remember, it was kind of talked about there for a while, and it was something that Daniel and Ziggler both wanted.
Yep.
And remember, during this whole, you know, back and forth with all of the different guys involved in that IC title match was going on Raw, there was a confrontation between the two of them. So yeah. I think we're going to get that match next week.
I mean, way to blow money. I mean, that's just kind of my attitude about it, is way to leave money. Not that I don't think it'll be a great match, but that is a pay-per-view quality match. You put the belt on Daniel Bryan. You turned off Ziggler heel. You have a great feud set up right there, and it will make you money. So just don't do it. That's probably a better plan. Don't do it.
By the way, I had an idea because, you know, Seth Rollins is always looking for backup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he needs people just to look out for his best interests and everything, right? Do you think he should hire Robert Durst?
Why Robert Durst?
Hey, Robert Durst is able to get away with things, man. He does things sneakily, quietly. You know, he has an excuse for everything. I'm not there. I don't know what you're talking about, you know. I know he's in jail right now. It could kind of be difficult. But if you had gotten him last week, you know, maybe Seth would be in a better position right now.
Especially whenever he was having all those issues with Jon Stewart.
That's very true.
It would have helped out a lot.
Did you watch The Jinx?
I have not watched it yet.
Mm. It's intriguing. I mean, there are definitely some questions about how the filmmakers put together this documentary. And for anybody that doesn't know, Robert Durst allegedly killed as many as three people. And HBO did a documentary about him. He is from the wealthy Durst family that is worth over like $4.5 billion. They're a real estate company. The family's done real estate up in the New York, Manhattan area forever. And he got arrested, but the final edition of the documentary, which aired on HBO this past weekend, they showed some evidence that they believe really links him to the murders. And supposedly it was him. He goes into a bathroom and he doesn't realize he's still got a hot mic on. He basically cops to the murders.
Mm.
Sorry if that was a spoiler alert, but everybody's been talking about it, so too bad. But yeah, so Robert Durst has been a big topic of conversation lately among people online.
Yep. I haven't watched it. So I don't know.
You need to get caught up, man.
Well, you just spoiled it for me, so I guess I'm not going to.
Oh, come on, everybody. You already knew he's arrested. Nah. Come on.
Yeah.
You know what else I'm going to spoil for you? So WWE is doing an NXT show the week of WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Friday for WrestleMania, they've added it. It's at San Jose University. They've already sold 4,100 tickets, so it's basically more or less a sellout right now. I think they're going to add some more seats later, or they'll make some available. So they sold out in like 2 hours, 10 o'clock local time, so it's after access. And the thing I'm going to spoil for you, you will not see the NXT champion in the ring have a match.
Hanging out at home with his dachshund.
That is true.
Dog.
He might be there, but okay. He's recovering from knee surgery.
It's all a ruse. I just want to hold him back so he can make his debut on Raw that week.
Maybe. Well, you know, he looks like he's going to be out of the ring for like a month, a little longer maybe. But that's one of the advantages they have for taping as far in advance as they did. They taped probably like about a month's worth already. So I don't know how much time he's going to have to miss from the TV show, but maybe a little. Maybe a little, but not too much.
So we won't get our rematch at that show?
No, we will not. Well, you know what? Here's the thing that I'm wondering about, too, okay? How many guys on the main roster are going to show up and perform on that show?
Okay. Because, do you think there will be a number of them doing that?
Yes, because we just got that with the show that they did at the Arnold.
Remember,
Big
true.
Show was on that show.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I'm clamoring for the Big Show to be on there, but what if Bray Wyatt was to show up? Because remember, Bray Wyatt, huge NXT influence, because, I mean, he came through there before he got to the main roster. I could see Paige being on that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I could see, I don't know, I'd like to see somebody, I don't know if Daniel Bryan would be on there, maybe. I'd like to see Ziggler on there. Somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to see them all at Mania, so we'll see.
Yeah, but it'd be great to see him on the stage, too, and have a match.
I'm more interested to see if Seth Rollins cashes in that weekend.
I'd love to see Rollins even on that show, too.
He should cash in at the NXT show. That would be interesting.
He should cash in. But, I mean, the interest level in that show has just gone through the roof. I've had people.
Brock Lesnar comes out.
I mean, oh, my God, he just destroys everybody.
4,000 people.
Maybe,
go home happy.
Maybe Heyman will perform. Maybe Heyman will be there and cut a promo.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how long that show's going to go. I'm assuming like two and a half hours. But The interest level on that NXT show has been crazy. I know there's a lot of interest in one of the Ring of Honor shows because Samoa Joe is going to be there challenging Jay Briscoe for the title. It's got a lot of interest. But the tickets for this NXT show went on sale, and within 2 hours, they'd sold over 4,000 tickets.
That's crazy.
I mean, more are probably going to be on sale, but I mean, like I said, I've had people asking me, like, hey, can you get me tickets? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I can't anyway, but I really can't for this one.
Right.
So right. I don't know why you're coming to me, as I am not that guy.
It's crazy.
Larry Zbyszko is going into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
Welcome to Larry Land. We're also getting Tatsumi Fujinami, and we're getting Kevin Nash next week. It's going to be announced next week. So, Shawn Michaels is going to induct Nash. I believe Triple H will induct Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ric Flair is going to induct Fujinami.
Huh. Okay.
Bruno Sammartino will induct Larry Zbyszko. John Laurinaitis is going to induct the Bushwhackers.
God.
Dude, he's got to come out there with the New Zealand flag, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of have to.
Oh, my God. If he comes out there and says, hey, man, this is the little sheep herders, okay?
Oh, that's funny.
That would be that would be worth it right there. And then not sure who's inducting Medusa yet. Oh, and then Hogan's introducing Savage. And Lanny Poffo is going to accept the award.
Okay.
And it looks like Nash is going to go on last.
Which I think is kind of, I guess it has to happen this way, but it's kind of weird.
It's weird. I understand because Savage has already passed, but I'd still go Savage last, man.
Yeah. No, you can't. I think this Hall of Fame is one headliner short of being fantastic, and I don't know about fantastic. Maybe that's overstating it, but
I mean, it's been such a big deal, such a long time in coming about Savage, to the point where WWE used that as a hook to get people talking about them so much, to go to the network. You remember they sent out those releases and everything that they did. And I mean, this is something that's, you know, I mean, it was a huge story there for a couple of days. Savage is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
He is the number one guy people are talking about going in. To me, you got to go last. I know he's passed, but to me, that's who people really want to see the most. And I'm not taking away from the other guys. He's the biggest star.
But you're not seeing the star. I guess that's where the breakdown is at the end of the day, this is an award ceremony, but right. It's also a show that they're going to put on USA Network and the WWE Network. And your main event cannot be representing so-and-so. It has got to be the name itself.
Well, I think you can from this standpoint for twofold. Number one, it's going to be a very emotional moment for everybody that Randy's finally getting in. The other one is, okay, if he doesn't go on last, where does he go? Because there's going to be a monster letdown after that.
Yeah, I don't know if it will be a letdown because
I think the audience.
Well, how disappointing is it, though, to be there for Randy Savage to go on? I don't know.
Yeah.
Without seeing Randy Savage, to me, I think it's awesome to see him go in, but the idea of seeing a star speak is almost a little bit more moving than seeing somebody representing a star speak, as important as, you know, as he is.
I don't mean to downgrade everybody else to say they're not deserving. Everybody that is going in, they definitely have a distinct argument, and there's reasons why they're going in. And I don't want to take away a special moment for them. But for people that are going to the Hall of Fame, how many of them are going because I want to go see Kevin Nash? Or I want to see Medusa or the Bushwhackers or Arnold Schwarzenegger, any of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are going, well, one, because they're big fans of the product and they want to go and they go no matter what. But two, the ones that are going for a specific reason is because Randy Savage is going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I just... I disagree with you. I just think it's bigger to have a name than somebody representing a name.
Yeah. It's a tough decision. I'll say that. And I don't know if they're worried about Lenny and what he might say or anything like that, but I think that he will be great. I really think that Lanny Poffel will be great. I think Hogan will be great. I know some people be rolling their eyes about that because there's always been distinct arguments about whether or not they had really, patched up their differences before Randy had passed. Like Bret Hart recently said, like, I don't know why they're having Hogan doing it because Randy didn't like him. He goes, I got along great with Randy. I should be doing it.
Interesting.
I mean, we all know that Hogan and Randy for a period there did not get along one bit. I mean, we saw all the different rap videos and everything. I mean, Randy came on the show. We were doing it on the radio 2 weeks in a row because he wanted to challenge Hulk Hogan to a fight. I mean, a real freaking fight. All the proceeds going to charity for the kids.
Well, and that's what I brought up whenever they announced him as being the inductee. It just doesn't. It's just such a weird. It's a weird thing.
Hey, I want to raise money for kids. So watch me and another man beat the living hell out of one another bare knuckle.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird situation.
Do you want me to tell you about my experience going to a TNA wrestling taping?
Do I have a choice?
Yeah, actually, you do, because I don't have to tell it.
I want to hear it. This is going to be good. It's going
to
be good.
Okay, so we went to the show. I went to the Sunday night show at Universal Studios. Soundstage 19. They used to be at 22.
Downgraded.
Yeah. Place was mostly full. When people would leave, they would find other people from the park and shuffle them in as quickly as possible. I was wondering for a while about, man, I go, there's a lot of talking on this show, and I don't see many matches. That's because they tape everything out of order. And they do all the talking segments basically first with a shorter matches, and then all of the bigger matches or whatever, they did all in a row at the end of the taping.
Okay.
So, like, there was a women's title match. There was a ladder match. There was a street fight. So, I'm not even going to say, you know, who's involved and everything. But, I mean, it was fine. I will say this. The Hardys, they are over like Rover in Orlando. Oh, my goodness.
I bet.
Oh, my goodness. And between that and Jeremy Borash at one point said, hey, everybody, you know what? Get excited and, you know, have fun at the show, and you're all going to be able to watch it, you know, on Destination America. These shows are going to be airing sometime in April. And I'm like, whoa, sometime in April? And he's like telling everybody, set your DVR. And I'm like, oh, for the whole month of April now, I got to have my DVR set.
My DVR won't even go forward that much. So.
Right. Early on in one of the talking segments, I have to give this part away, though. EC3 comes out. And said, you know, he's talking to another guy, and he goes, for 19 months, I've been in this company, and for 19 months, I have been pinned. I haven't been submitted. Nobody has beaten me, blah, blah, blah. And then in another segment later on where he's talking, he goes, for the last 20 months, I have not been pinned. I have not been submitted. And I turn to my friends and go, how long have we been here?
Oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that was it's one of the perils of taping, you know.
Yep.
I think they've got enough shows now to go through June of next year. They're actually coming back in May to Universal Studios to tape more shows.
Really?
Yes, they are. They announced it.
Are they coming back on a more permanent basis at any point?
They still say they want to move around, but they like the setup there. So, I mean, it's not the same elaborate setup that they once had. Not that it was ever that elaborate, but they did have, like, this monster-sized HD screen, and they were in the soundstage, and they could fit, like, 1,200 people. I would say now they could probably put about, like, 700, maybe?
Yeah.
So, it's condensed a little bit. But, I mean, they can make it look good, which they have. So, but, I mean, it was... The thing that I will say now about TNA that really stood out about this tapings was there are way too many factions in that company.
That's the same thing people said about WCW back in 1990.
Yeah. Well, we got
nine.
You got the Beatdown Club. You've got the Revolution. Now you got the Rising. There's a women's faction. And by the way, I'm convinced that one of the women from that faction, I ran into her today, once again, at a Chipotle in Orlando. I swear to God, anytime I go to this Chipotle, man, there is a wrestler there. Okay, typically it's from NXT. Maybe it was somebody from NXT, but I swear I think it was somebody from this group, from TNA. So I was just like, what? I know that there was two female wrestlers in there, because one of them even had her her arm, like she had an athletic wrap on her arm.
Okay.
And I think they kind of noticed I did a double take, and they're like, oh, crap, this guy's going to want to talk to us, and I didn't, so.
One of the things I think WWE needs is missing right now is a good faction. They could really use a good.
They could.
Bring back the corporate ministry. That's all I'm asking.
The corporate ministry.
That's all I want in my life, the corporate ministry.
Oh, jeez.
I know it's a good idea, right? You're so
right.
Blown away by
Right. Yeah. You want to get some questions? Was there anything else
questions.
You wanted to hit on?
I'm trying to think. There's
a lot of questions. By the way, for
anything else I want to hit on.
Yeah. Everybody that's listening to us, we appreciate all the support. And remember, you can find us online at BetweenTheRopes.com. And then you check out the Facebook page. And we're on Twitter at Between the Ropes. But please do subscribe to the podcast, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, the Downcast app. You can listen to us on the TuneIn app now as well. So please review us and rate us. Any kind of feedback, we really, really appreciate it, especially when it comes to iTunes and Stitcher. And we always put up a post where we'll take your questions before the podcast. A monster response, over 30 questions.
Wow.
Posted.
Had a request before we get to the questions. Liam Vaughn, one of our listeners, wanted me to give him a shout out. And because I've got nothing better to do with my life than give people shout outs on this podcast, Liam Vaughn, here's your shout out, Between the Ropes.
Shout out, Between the Ropes style.
Questions. I am not going to get to all of these simply because we don't want to be here all night. But we are going to do an all question show. And I think
programming coming following WrestleMania.
Yes. And I think there has been some chatter about getting a questions email address. If you think of something throughout the week, you want to send us, we'll talk about that.
By the way, a big thing happened this past week too, because not only is Michael going to WrestleMania for the first time ever, he is going to the Hall of Fame and doing it the proper way, suiting up as every member of the media should do and is asked to do as well.
As every member who attends the Hall of Fame should do. Let's just get that.
Right. I really, you know, wearing shorts and your NWO tank top, probably not the best, you know. But not even every member of the media now adheres to that, even though they ask it on your credential sheet. But Michael went out and bought a suit.
Got me a Teddy Long special.
Now, the one jacket you did show me was rather intriguing.
That was my Vince McMahon special.
That was Vince McMahon circa 1976.
Yeah, I had to put it back on the shelf, though.
How would you describe that jacket?
It was like you've ever seen like a picnic table?
Yep.
You know like the tablecloth that goes on a picnic table?
Yep.
I would describe it as being a more extreme version of that.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you know.
I
did not buy that one.
Did
I
you get like a suit from Dumb and Dumber?
No.
Okay. Just want to make sure because you know, Daniels and Kazarian have already done that, so
we just to clarify, we are okay with just suit T-shirts, right? Like the ones that look like it's
just a tuck
shirt.
I hate those things, man. I mean, that would be one of the worst things I could ever do is wear one of those shirts. Like if I ever lost a bet and somebody said, if you lose a bet, you got to wear one of those shirts, I would be demoralized for weeks.
Yeah. I know what you mean. They are terrible looking. And I saw plenty last night for St. Patrick's Day because apparently they make specialized St. Patrick's Day T-shirt tuck suits.
Oh, no.
Questions of the week. I would like to start with, let's see here.
There's so many to choose from.
Michael Silva writes in. Again, Roman Reigns. Really? Question mark.
Yes, Roman Reigns is going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. He'll be squaring off against Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
He was better, man. He's better.
Yep.
There's
Baby
a lot
steps.
Of people coming to his defense. Bret Hart has come to his defense and said, hey, he's ready, even though he did say he thinks the company made a mistake by not putting Daniel Bryan in it, but he says Roman's ready.
I don't know that I agree that he's ready. I think he's done some things to improve.
Absolutely.
But I also think that because you have a great match at Fastlane and because you've cut one really good promo and a couple of solid promos, I argue that does not make you a main eventer by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there is a level of experience that has to go into this guy that he does not have. And we've said this before. He'll get there. But he's not there yet. And why you would want to shove him down fans' throats is beyond me. Leaving money on the table. Kevin Kellum writes in, what's going to be the big story coming out of WrestleMania? Not so much who wins, but what are the talking points at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time when the show wraps in 2 weeks? Tell you what, Kevin Kellum, check back in 2 weeks, BetweenTheRopes.com and our YouTube page. We'll be giving you the talking points from WrestleMania.
We will.
Done. All right, moving right along. See,
you know what that's called? WCW-style cliffhanger.
Uh-huh.
Tony Schiavone just added that, and he said, we're out of time. We got to go.
I'm going to keep pushing on here. Why is Mark Sherman?
Did you just turn
it
into salt and pepper there?
Uh-huh. I did. Good. Keep pushing. Why is Daniel Bryan in the mid-card? We never got a payoff. I don't know what you're asking, but because the wrestling gods deem it so. Moving right along here.
The payoff I think he's talking about is, you know, he got stripped of the title but never got pushed back in that position.
Okay.
And that's because WWE didn't want to put him in that position right now.
There you go. Slow me down. Jeff Fox. I'm assuming it's no relation to Jeff Foxworthy. His picture is literally.
Is he weird to Rick Fox, though?
I don't know. This guy is.
Is he tall?
He works at Wag the Fox. This guy is an interesting fellow.
Nice.
We have apparently animals hanging out on the Between the Ropes forums. What do you guys think needs to happen on the go-home show to whip up the 11th hour interest in viewers to invest in Mania and the network? Or do you think they're content with their million subscribers and a sold-out house for now?
Well, I mean, no matter what people think right now, I mean, WrestleMania is going to do good business. I mean, mm-hmm. they've sold a lot of seats for it. I don't know if it's a true sellout, but I mean, you know, they've sold a lot of seats. Any other seats that they do now are going to be last-minute buys or tickets that they're giving away. They're going to, when it comes to subscribers on the network, now that it's on a worldwide platform, it's probably going to be about 1.5 million. And they announced today that the day after WrestleMania, they're doing a conference call to announce how many subscribers they have on the network. And of course they are, because that's going to be their peak number.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can sit here and say we disagree with some of the storyline directions they're doing, but business-wise, they're doing very well from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the tough thing. As for what they could do to get more interest in Mania, you know, let's see what they do with Brock and Roman. I mean, there's something that could definitely be done there. I do like that they've kept Triple H and Sting apart where they haven't touched. I think Taker needs to be on the show, but the common belief is that he will not be on the show.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, God, what is,
I want the Phenom on Raw. I want people to see him and not, because the last time we saw him was at WrestleMania last year and getting destroyed. Uh-huh. I want to see him. I want to see him healthy. I want to see him where Bray Wyatt does not believe what he's seeing. And Bray has seen a ghost.
Yeah,
you know, is like tripping over himself as he's going, moving backwards and can't believe it. And his hat goes mm-hmm. flying and, you know, everything. And Taker doesn't even put his hands on him, but just scares the bejesus out of him. I would like to see that. I think that would definitely do something. I mean, that's just a couple of things right there. And that's what you got to push, the main event stuff. And you got to do something between Cena and Rusev. I mean, I thought they really had some good things going. This past week was a little bit of a stumble. And even the previous week where, you know, Cena, you know, made Rusev basically submit to where Lana agreed to do the match. I thought that was a mistake too, because I thought that was kind of putting a hit on Rusev. You know, when the guy is, for the most part, has been extremely well protected, except when he's in segments with Stephanie McMahon. Mm-hmm. So I would have done a little bit more there, but I mean, they could still, I mean, they got to do something more. I mean, I love it when Cena is in the ring and the flag comes down behind him and Rusev's music plays, and just the look of contempt on Cena's face is fantastic.
Yep. I agree.
I want Cesaro to do that with the Swiss flag sometime.
I don't think they're going that direction.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
I think they're fairly content that they made a million, but there is not contentedness across the business. I think they understand they're in kind of a tough spot creatively. And, you know, I guess their solution to it is to just push ahead and not change direction and show that they're standing strong. But I don't think it's working the way they want. I think we'll all accept it because it's WrestleMania, but I think we won't accept it come April 1st, April 2nd after WrestleMania. So they're okay right now, and they'll announce subscribers, but I expect a change of course after this season and after the complaints become a little more apparent in the off season.
Well, what we'll get is, what was the reaction from the immediate audience there at WrestleMania, especially mm-hmm. to the main event? And what is the reaction? I don't know how much the Raw the day after will play in, because remember, that's a super smart audience. Some people would even say it's bizarro land, like when they go to Toronto. So how much, don't overreact to that necessarily. But the few weeks after WrestleMania, I think could say a lot. If they're going one direction and the audience is still fighting that, then they change course.
Yeah, I could see that. Let's see here. Jeff Franciski writes in, why am I more intrigued by my WWE Supercard app matches than Raw and WrestleMania?
Because you're a hell of a booker on your app there, buddy.
That game, that Supercard game, is mostly terrible. I don't know if you've played it, Fritz, but basically you have your animated cards attack each other and do wrestling moves to other animated cards. And you can level them up, so you can have like a super leveled up Alberto Del Rio and a super rare Dean Ambrose. And I don't think CM Punk's in it. I think they removed him. But the fact
is, Del Rio still in the game, though?
He was when I played it a few months ago, but I haven't touched it in months. But the fact that Jeff is more interested in playing those matches, which I use the term playing very loosely there, than WrestleMania and Raw is saying something intently. Ramen Shariati, if I said that wrong, I apologize, writes in, hi, Brian. How can our Lakers turn this around and once again become contenders? He has a question for me, too. So
sure.
You go first.
The Lakers can become contenders pretty quickly through free agency, and if they keep their draft pick this year, they get one of the top five picks. They keep the pick. Otherwise, they lose it. And at this point, I think it's actually going to Philadelphia. But the way that they can do it is the salary cap is going to jump astronomically over the next couple of years, and the Lakers will not have any salaries on their payroll, so they can go out there and just try to get every big-name free agent that they can. They can sign two or even three of them. If they use the draft pick wisely and get a good player there, if Julius Randle, the rookie that got injured this year in their first game of the season, if he's able to be a player and contribute, they can turn around extremely quickly within the next couple of years.
All right, there you go. And he follows it up by asking me, how far can NC State go in the tourney? Thank you.
What's your seed?
We are an 8 seed.
Okay.
So we have an 8-9 matchup, which is always dicey.
Yeah, it's always it's an even matchup. There is no upsets. Who are you facing?
Yes. We are... we're facing LSU tomorrow night.
Oh boy.
Yeah, which I think we can win that game, but then the follow up game to that is Kentucky.
Oh geez, you're in that bracket?
Yeah. So I mean wait, we played Villanova. I'm sorry. No, we're in the Nova bracket.
Well, Nova is extremely tough
man. Yeah, that's still, it's just as bad in my mind. I mean, if we were in the Duke bracket, we've beaten Duke, I wouldn't feel that bad about it. Nova is not the kind of team you want to play. I think we're going to go all the way, of course. And as an NC State fan, I have to pull from my pack. And I believe that me and the 4% of the ESPN bracket filler outers are going to take money from the other 96% of you in America. And that's the way it'll be. So
is Tom Gugliotta coming to your house to watch the game tomorrow night?
Well, he was going to, but he had some other plans. But he'll be. If we make it to the next round, he'll
I'm still
be
disappointed that when we went to the NC State game that Googs did not join us.
Well, I tried. I tried for you, and he wouldn't respond to my tweets for some reason. So
he's the only guy that I ever known that played for NC State. It's Tom Gugliotta. It's the only named player I ever known.
Maybe you should learn some more people.
He's the most famous one.
We have questions. We can't talk about Tom Gugliotta anymore, and your googly eyes for Gugliotta.
Googs!
Yeah. Chris Colgan writes in, how to bring in Joe? I feel Joe's first feud should be against Brian.
Well, there's a lot
Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, when it comes to Samoa Joe, whenever that time comes, he comes in, which it looks like his last Ring of Honor date could be the one WrestleMania weekend. He's going to NXT first.
Oh, yeah?
He's not going to the main roster.
Somebody else asked. Matt Ellis asked us that. He said, do you think he goes straight to
I seriously doubt it. I seriously doubt it. I mean, it's not impossible, but I seriously doubt it. I think NXT makes a lot more sense in their eyes.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Especially as they try to grow and get NXT, you know, on the road a lot more, you know.
But I think they put him down there in a big spot. So
I do too.
I really don't think he comes in against Kevin Owens. I think that could be fun, but I don't think they want to go that direction. But I could see very easily. I don't think Owens is going to be down there for the long haul.
I think Joe goes in there to face a Tommy and see if he can get him going a little bit.
Yes.
More.
Yes. And I think eventually you're moving up to maybe a Finn Balor feud or. Mm-hmm.
Better not run into my boy Tyler Breeze. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you like do you like that he now has the selfie stick?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is all tricked out.
Yep. Steven Minahane. Hi, guys. Assuming Wyatt loses to Taker, I'm not going to assume that. After he also lost to Cena last year, where does he go after Mania?
I think just being in a match with Taker really helps him out, and I hope that they push him a little bit more as one of the top heels.
I don't think he loses to Taker. I really feel like he could win, and I think that's softened by the fact that the streak broke last year. I kind of think he could win this match.
I don't. I think he has about 0.00% chance of winning. But that's just me.
I'm going to do two more questions so we're get out of here at a decent hour tonight.
Question from James Parsons.
You can ask
it. Put you on the spot.
Go.
He said, whose WrestleMania entrance are you looking forward to the most? It's an interesting question because Taker's entrances are always extremely elaborate. At WrestleMania, Triple H's are always pretty darn good, especially when he comes out to For Whom the Bell Tolls. Bray Wyatt's was fantastic last year, and we're going to see all those people in the darkness turn on their cell phones. And then I expect a really, really big entrance for Sting, and I'm curious to see what they're going to be doing for Roman Reigns. And the belief is, because we've already heard something about a talent agency being contacted, that they're going to have a lot of Russian soldiers for Rusev.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. The Sting one, I think, could be quite elaborate. I'm curious to see what they're going to do for that.
Yeah.
But the one that I'm probably the most interested in is still Taker.
Mm-hmm. I think that will be interesting in what Bray Wyatt does as well. I think just the way those two are going to play off each other.
Because remember, he had the band plan last year.
Yeah.
So.
But this week, it's going to be the dark versus the dark. I think it'll be good. This is like pulling out of a hat here. There are so many questions. I do like this, Steven saying. I want to do two more because I like this question a lot. I like that question too, though. Tommy Tucker. Cena v. Rusev matches remind me of Rocky. You've been listening to the podcast there, Tommy Tucker. What is your favorite and least liked Rocky movie?
The least liked Rocky movie is Rocky V. It never existed. I don't want to ever hear about it. The most liked Rocky movie. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, the original Rocky movie did win the Academy Award for Best Picture back in 77, I believe. Rocky II was kind of boring up until you started training for the rematch. Rocky III was really good against Clubber Lang. Rocky IV was against Drago, the Russian. And then Rocky Balboa, the last one they did, was a really, really good movie. Not as good as the other four. Maybe as good as two. There's still something special that I think about Rocky IV. The whole American-Russian thing. Plus, you have two of the greatest music video montages in movie history, back-to-back in that movie.
Yeah,
From No Easy Way Out to Hearts on Fire.
I love Rocky IV. I like it better than III. But I think, you know, of course I hate V, like everybody else on the planet. I think I is a perfect movie and one of my favorite movies of all time. And I think Balboa is a very, very, very close second to that. I mean, they are neck and neck. Those two together on their own are just, they're beautiful bookends.
Do you get shivers when you hear Duke say, "We're going to build us some heart and bombs"?
Yeah. 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 I do. I do. And our last question of the night, Dave Kinney writes in, sorry, Francis, you did not make the cut tonight. Total Divas questions are getting you the axe on this podcast. Dave Kinney writes, would the Andre Battle Royal be better if everyone eliminated lost their contracts? Seriously, this looks like one of the worst jobber matches in years.
Well, they didn't exactly do much to help that match when they did a Royal Rumble style thing on Raw, and all but two people were eliminated within 30 seconds.
Yep.
And I'll go back to saying it. I don't like doing Rumbles or Battle Royals after you just had the Royal Rumble.
I agree.
You should not have this match. If you want to do something, they should do it at SummerSlam, or they should do it on the pre-show, and the winner gets a title shot, or something like that.
I think it is not good, and I think they have too. I said this before. They have too many of these multi-man matches on this show.
Yep, I went on my rant and got my soapbox last week about how everybody gets on shows. So,
yep,
I think everybody knows about that. One other news note: Jey Uso injured his shoulder on SmackDown last week. And it's looking very doubtful for WrestleMania. So it looks like the four-way tag team title match is going to be turned into a three-way. And no Usos.
Yep.
Which is very disappointing.
Interesting.
And feel bad for those guys because I think not only would they have a good chance to win, but obviously they want to get on WrestleMania.
I'm going to go back to the questions. And I am going to ask one of Francis's question only because...
you feel guilty about it.
I feel a little guilty. I just felt like that was cold. You know, it was a little bit cold. And I got to address this. Is this your WrestleMania feeling like one damaged angle apart from Cena versus Rusev and the main event and The Miz? And it sounds like to me he's insulting The Miz. And Francis, you can't insult The Miz. That in itself is another damaged angle.
Why did they already have The Miz and Sandow break up on Raw rather than waiting till WrestleMania for that moment?
Good question.
And gain the big pop of Sandow eliminating The Miz in that match.
Yep. That in itself is another damaged angle.
God, I'm an idiot and I can figure out that angle.
Even Brian Fritz can figure out that angle.
Yes.
On that note, even Brian Fritz, the idiot, and on that note.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So... we appreciate everybody for listening, and don't forget, get us on iTunes, get us the Stitcher, Downcast app, TuneIn app, you know, wherever. Please subscribe and please review us and leave, rate us, review us, all of that fun stuff. Please do that. And, of course, check us out at BetweenTheRopes.com. Listen to some of the other podcasts, my recent interviews with Devon Dudley and Mickey James, and then next week at WrestleMania, we're going to be part of Radio Row, so we're going to have a lot of different interviews next week, a lot of interviews. We have no idea who they're going to be bringing out, but we're going to have a lot of interviews, and we will be there at WrestleMania next week. So Keep it right here on the website for all of the coverage. Don't forget to check us out online at Facebook and on Twitter at Between the Ropes. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.